How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Back, we are rapid fire with the Locked On Celtics podcast. Back again, John Corrales, Jay King. Lots to talk about. We are coming up on free agency in a few days. Kevin Durant sitting there. He is the prize. Great show, though, yeah, I should say, with Fred Katz. Yeah, what, we posted that today? Today. I'm losing track. We've done so many shows, Jay, that I'm losing track of when these shows are going up.
We're the most active podcast around right now. We are just rapid-fire podcasting.
The people demand more shows, and we are giving it to them one way or the other. So that's just what being part of the Locked On Podcast Network is all about. So today, the big thing, we're recording on Tuesday, so we'll post this Wednesday morning. The big news is that from ESPN that the Celtics are among the teams that are in on Al Horford. And this had a big effect on the pursuit of Kevin Durant. And really, the pursuit of Kevin Durant is all anybody really wants to talk about right now. So, Jay, one question that we've been asked constantly, how do we pitch Kevin Durant? If we're sitting there in that room, who do we bring in that room? How do we sell him on Boston? So do you want to go first with this, or are you going to put the pressure on me to step up right away?
Let's just throw out ideas. Kevin Durant, one of his favorite players growing up was Larry Bird. Now, obviously, Larry Bird is president of the Indiana Pacers. Huge conflict of interest. If you can get Larry Bird in the room somehow, or have him Skype in, or whatever, that might actually impact Kevin Durant. Or at least he would think it was really cool. Like, he is a huge Bird fan.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, and obviously, that's probably very unrealistic. Bird has his own team to worry about. But Danny Ainge, if he has any favors to call in, he might want to bring in Larry Bird on that one. Another thing I've been thinking about, Durant, he loves like the togetherness of basketball, and I think that's one thing that stood out about him for a long time, and his loyalty, the way he loves his teammates, the way he loves really basketball, and you know he writes "Have fun" on his shoes. I think bring the whole team in. Bring the whole Celtics roster in and pitch him on the unity there, because there's a lot of unity. And I think that would be a cool pitch. It would be like the Patriots when they all came out together in the Super Bowl. What was it? Their defense all came out together. It would be something like that, like just a show of solidarity. Kevin, we love each other, and we love you, man. We love you, too.
I'm all in on that. I think Danny Ainge, Wick Grosbeck, and Brad Stevens show up all wearing KD Trey Nike gear, decked out, all white, everything.
Okay,
brand
all,
new sneakers.
How funny would Brad Stevens look in the KD Treys?
Oh, hilarious! That's part of why. To see him. Picture this slow motion walking towards the camera. Danny Ainge, camera center, flanked to the camera left, slightly behind him, Brad Stevens, and right behind him on the right is Wick Grosbeck. Slow motion walking in unison with KD Trey running suits, all white, and a chain with like the number 35.
Let's have some fun with this, man. Let's have some serious fun with this. Then you can go to like clips of Stephen Curry throwing his mouth guard, or like fourth quarter Russell Westbrook just taking bug out shots down the stretch of games, like an hour long clip of Russell Westbrook completely looking off Kevin Durant. There's a lot of ways you could go with this pitch.
maybe see, now this is great. We're brainstorming, we're spitballing. I like the ideas are flowing. Maybe it's because it's campaign season. There's a presidential campaign going on. maybe what the Celtics do is they go full-on negative campaign. You know, Russell Westbrook says he wants to win a championship, but then why does he take shots like this? You know, montage, black and white, boom, 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 crazy shots. Steph Curry thinks he's the MVP, but then why does he play like this when crunch time? And then, yeah, that shot, oh, yeah, perfect. This is perfect.
I'm in. I don't think Durant would actually go for those ideas. I think he would be really, really pissed off if they spoke badly about Russell Westbrook. But we're just spitballing here. We're just brainstorming. We're just throwing ideas out there. I'm not
all
sure.
Right, let's get serious about it. Let's get serious about it. Because as much fun as we can have here, we can waste the entire half hour having crazy ideas. But you and Fred talked about this, and Fred was saying that of the six teams, the Celtics are in the middle of the pack. And we have to figure out a way to make the Celtics attractive to him, attractive enough to Kevin Durant for him to say, I'm not going to stick around in Oklahoma City, and I'm not going to do a 1+1 deal. I'm going to sign a 4-year max contract to play for the Boston Celtics. So step one in doing that, I think, is getting a better team. And that's where today's report about Horford and the Celtics making a run for him is really, really important. Because if you can get to Horford and almost have like a two-pronged approach, and I don't know who would go talk to Horford first, but you almost have to have them on the phone with each other, you know, giving the thumbs up like, yeah, all right, we've got Horford. Tell KD we got Horford, and you have to upgrade his talent, first of all. So Horford coming in, and I don't know if that means Sullinger ends up not being either matched or not even offered a qualifying offer. Maybe it means Amir Johnson not picking up the option on Amir Johnson. Whatever that means, you got to get a guy like Al Horford in here. I think that's first and foremost, you got to figure out a way to get that in.
Yep. And then secondly, you show Kevin Durant trades you have lined up. You know, obviously the Celtics haven't had that trade yet. They haven't gotten Jimmy Butler or any of their other targets. But they have enough assets where if they put enough chips on the table, you can probably snag someone loose at some point. So you pitch him on the promise of getting another guy beyond Horford. You know, it's as much as you'd want to think, you know, okay, Al Horford, Isaiah Thomas, that's Jay Crowder, that's a nice place to start. He's going to have the Warriors calling him. He's going to have the Spurs calling him. There are going to be teams that have more ready-made rosters to compete. So you got to add somebody else, I think, in addition to Horford. So this is going to be tough. let's get this out of the way. This is going to be very tough to do. Danny Ainge, there's a lot of moving parts. And then long-term success. The Celtics are young. The Celtics have a million draft picks. The Celtics have that Brooklyn Nets pick from next year, which is in a loaded draft pick. They have so many ways to get better on top of being an already good team. So there are a lot of things to like about their future. And then Brad Stevens, you know, you got to pitch Brad Stevens too.
Absolutely. I think Brad Stevens has maybe the most important role in this, because most of this pitch can basically be Brad Stevens talking to Kevin Durant and saying, hey, look, this is how we're going to use you. And I've already drawn up these plays. Like, these are the things that I would do for you with our guys. Here's you and Isaiah Thomas playing off of one another. Not just the pick and roll. This is the action. This is the action on the other side. This is the way these are going to be the options off of this play. How we want to play you with Avery Bradley, with Jay Crowder, you know, defensively, these are the things that we want to do. We want to show him what Brad Stevens is really, really made of. And I will say this, that if this thing drags on a little bit, you know, Brad Stevens is going to be involved with Team USA. So if he can kind of get in there and show himself as a great coach when he's around Team USA, then Durant will have a little bit more of a sense of what he would be playing for, who he would be playing for. So these are things that I think are especially important with pitching a guy who's so purely basketball focused. He wants to succeed. These are the ways we're going to make you succeed. These are the things that you haven't had. These are the plays that you wish you had, and hopefully he doesn't take them and go run them in OKC when he re-signs there. But these are the things that I think would really sell him on that long-term success. So you've got Danny Ainge telling him, this is the plan. We are upgrading our talent. We know we need to help you out. We've already got these guys. We're going to get these guys. And one of this list, and now Brad's going to give you the playbook and how we're going to use you and ways that the fantasy of being able to scheme for Kevin Durant. So I think those two things are the biggest thing. And you just got to hope that he can be sold on being in the East, having really only Cleveland to worry about as a huge threat to their path to the championship. And not, you could say, hey, look, you're not going through San Antonio, you're not going through Golden State, you're not going through the Clippers, you're not going through all of these great teams. You go through Toronto, which, you know, we saw what they did. You go through maybe, you know, Washington if they get any better, or Indiana, who's interesting this season. But Cleveland, you just got Cleveland to worry about. So I think there is a path. It's probably not the best pitch in the NBA right now for him, but it's a good one, I think.
Yeah, I think the culture of the organization is probably important too. You sell him on the stability. You sell him on the fact that Brad Stevens just got a contract extension, and Danny Ainge has been there more than a decade, just got a contract extension too. And the ownership, they've been there together forever, and they're willing to spend money. The Thunder, they haven't been willing to spend money. You know, the Celtics ownership, that's a big deal. They will go into the luxury tax. They will do whatever it takes. If they have a James Harden, they're not going to be trading him away to get under that tax line. So I think that's a big deal too. And again, I don't think you talk badly about the Thunder in any sense, but just show him, I guess, the differences of what the Celtics ownership and what their coaching staff and what everybody can do. One thing that's interesting basketball wise, I think, is Jay Crowder, his ability to guard fours. That makes him such a great fit next to Durant. If they could go small and Durant and Crowder could be the wings, and man, that's tantalizing to think about, because Durant, whether he didn't want to play four or the Thunder just had a ton of big guys, they didn't play small a lot in Oklahoma City. And I really do think it's just tantalizing to think about what those two guys could do in a small lineup with all the defense the Celtics have, and then Isaiah Thomas cracking through the lane. It's fun to think about. Obviously, it's a long shot, but it really is fun to think about from the Celtics' perspective.
Yeah, I agree. That would be part of, I think, the Brad Stevens pitch with the lineups. And depending on how they all shake out, I mean, you could throw out a super small lineup with Durant on the floor with Crowder. You could even do Durant, Crowder, Smart, Bradley, and Isaiah Thomas for a super, super small lineup. And you could even tell Marcus Smart, you go guard the four, and Crowder, you go guard the five for a few minutes, and we're just going to go nuts. Think about what that lineup could do up and down the floor. I mean, that's crazy.
That would be a little hectic.
That would be insane. Couldn't do it for long stretches, but just imagine that lineup with KD up. I mean, come on. So, but it would work. It would work, and it would at least throw the other team into some sort of disarray, where they sat there and go, what is this? Who are they putting out there? Crowder's the five? Okay. And it would just for, you know, crazy madman experiment, I would love to see it. So why don't we get to some of these questions because one of the questions here. Here's a good one. What number does he wear in Boston? If we got there, if he wears number 35, and that's clearly not available, neither is 3, neither is 5. So what do we do as far as the number? Do we go completely off the grid and say, you're number 3.5?
I'm not sure that one's legal.
Come on.
Whatever free number he wants, or any number that's already taken on the team, just have it. Just have it. Oh, you want 41? Sorry, Kelly. Like you got to change your number, man. Or, you know, you want 4? Sorry, Isaiah. I know you want to do whatever you can to recruit. So just sacrifice. Give it up.
Right.
I don't think the number is going to be a huge deal, though. It might even be a good thing from the perspective of, you know, like a change would be good for jersey sales. Who knows?
That's true. No, it's true. It's just kind of a curious thing because you know how guys are with their numbers. Thanks, Ari Pop Irish, for the question there. I just one of those things where he has a special reason for wearing 35. He said his first ever coach died at 35, so that's in tribute to him, and that could be an important thing. I don't know. That's just one of those little things that
Is 53 available? 53, just flip it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. By the way, I said something really stupid earlier about the jersey change. If he comes to Boston, it's going to be a jersey change anyway. I think that'll impact the sales regardless. So yeah, I am very stupid. Everybody knows that, but I just repeated my stupidness in the podcast yet again.
Okay. What other questions do we have here? Any chance of a blockbuster trade before? This is from Coppa 34. Any chance of a blockbuster trade before Durant signs to make the Celtics more attractive? I mean, that certainly, if there's anything possible with Danny in the trade. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how long Durant takes to make his decision. Is he going to wrap this up in a week? Or is he going to really let everyone get their pitches in and take a little bit of time and wait till like mid to late July to finally make his call and kind of let everyone else sign who they're going to sign and kind of see how these teams build their rosters before he makes a decision?
I think if you get the indication from Durant that it's a real possibility and it's not just this long shot chance, then you get more aggressive on the trade front. And maybe a trade package, trade offer you said no to on draft night, you reconsider because, yeah, Kevin Durant's a possibility. He's a real possibility. And maybe you lose some assets now, but you increase your chance at getting one of the top 3 or 4 players in the league. And Durant's a game-changing talent. Wherever he goes, he is shifting the NBA landscape. So you do what you need to do to get him in, and you move mountains to get that guy to Boston.
Absolutely, and now a lot of people are asking, what if they don't get Durant? Do the Celtics? This is from Easy Money 888. If they don't get KD this year, do the Celtics use either of their max contract slots? Is there a plan B for these guys?
I mean, I still think you probably go after Horford. Horford might make his decision before Durant. And the thing about the max contracts this summer, if you sign a really good player to a max contract this summer, even if he has a rocky year, the salary cap is going up another $20 million next summer. That deal is still going to look good a year from now. It's going to be tradable regardless of what happens. So yeah, I think you go after the guys you would go after if Durant is in play, and whatever happens from there happens, and you try to upgrade the roster. The thing about free agents is you get these guys without trading your assets. You get them without trading young players. You get them without trading any of your future draft picks. You get them, you know, even if you have to overpay a little bit compared to what you would want to pay, you're not spending assets. So that's a huge plus there.
The numbers are really amazing because the projected salary cap for the 2016-17 season initially was like $89 million. Now it's going to be $94 million. So that could go to $114 million in the summer, in the following summer.
It's crazy. Crazy. It's staggering.
I mean, that's insane. The amount of money that is going to be spent. And here's one thing that people, I think, are missing. There's also a salary floor that teams need to reach. And that floor is, what, $84 million this year, I believe? Which means that's the minimum salary. Now, the only penalty if you don't reach that minimum salary is that everyone else on the team gets to split the difference. So if you pay... if you pay $80 million, and like your total salary is $80 million, and the floor is $84 million, then $4 million gets split up evenly amongst everybody else. So it's not the worst thing in the world, but teams really do need to kind of get up to that level. So the Celtics are going to have to spend the money anyway. Somebody's going to be getting paid. The Celtics need to go get somebody. So that could be Horford. Definitely could be Horford. Could be Kevin Durant. Then, but what if it's not those guys? Is there somebody else? I saw today that Ryan Anderson is going to be a top target for the Washington Wizards. Ryan Anderson's going to be getting max money. Do they go after somebody like Kim? Who do they go after to pay some money to so they could reach that floor?
See, we've talked about this before. I don't think they make a pretty good move like that. They have enough pretty good players. You know, Ryan Anderson... He can shoot the heck out of the ball. He fits needs. He would help right away. There's no doubt about that. But they need guys who help them get to a championship-level contender. And otherwise, they should just keep the flexibility. A guy like Anderson, guy like Mirza Teletovic, who I know you love, I just don't think they should spend money on those guys. You're better off having that cap flexibility, and you're better off trying to target bigger moves and giving minutes in the short term to guys like Jaylen Brown, guys like Jordan Mickey, who are prospects and have chances to develop.
See, I think upgrading the talent at that level, I think you still have to do it. Even if you're doing it as part of the Durant pursuit. Because those guys, even if they're making, let's say Teletovic makes what, $14 million next year? Sounds like a ridiculous amount of money. But if that's what he makes, that's going to be what guys make. And if you're pulling him off of the bench instead of Tyler Zeller, then that makes a big difference. So we need to address those things somehow. We need
But you better be damn sure you can trade him next year if you have to. Because right now, one of the things the Celtics have going for them is that they have an easy path to enough room for two maximum level free agents. They can go to Kevin Durant and say, yes, we have enough room for you. Yes, we have enough room for Al Horford. They don't have to do really much of anything else. You know, the Golden State Warriors, if they get Durant, they'll have to clear a lot of space. They'll have to make a lot of moves with trades and letting people go, things like that. The Los Angeles Clippers might have to deal with Blake Griffin to do it. The Miami Heat, you know, they'd probably have to let Hassan Whiteside walk and jump through a bunch of hoops to get Durant over there. It's a lot harder for those teams to fit Durant in. The Celtics, all they have to do is say, yep, sign right here. And I think that's a big deal. So do you risk that for Mirza Teletovic? No. Even if Durant signs for a long-term contract, you're better off pushing that cap flexibility toward next year when guys like Russell Westbrook, Stephen Curry, Blake Griffin are all going to be free agents. Keep that cap flexibility. Keep that space because that is a big deal. Right now they can offer a 48-win team with enough space for two maximum contract free agents and the assets to go out and grab somebody established.
That's a huge deal. You don't risk that to get a average to above average player. You risk that to get somebody better than that. And Teletovic, Anderson, those aren't the guys that are gonna lure Durant.
You still can maintain that flexibility. You can sign better bench players, and you can say Zeller's out and Teletovic is in. And I'm going to stick with that example. But that is a pretty easy upgrade that you can make that does, yes, eat into some of your cap space this year, as long as you're not blowing it all. If you sign Horford and you upgrade your bench a little bit, like we said, the cap goes up next year. And there are ways that they can reduce. They only have Amir Johnson. They could cut Amir Johnson right now, or they have him under contract for one more year. That is money that's coming off of the books next year. So there are ways. They could do the same with Jarebko. So there are ways to do it. I think you have to do something to improve your team and, yes, maintain that flexibility to add a stud, but you still got to improve your team. There's got to be some sort of balance. I don't think you can just go out there and roll that team back out there because you're just going to have another year with the same results.
But what's wrong with that? Isn't it more important to develop young guys, maintain that cap flexibility, than it would be to grab another 4 or 5 wins and win 52 or 53 games next season and still be short of contending?
Yes, but you can do a little bit of both. I'm going to call up the salary cap numbers here now. The Celtics, I mean, going into 2017, they have, look, Amir Johnson off the books. Jonas Jerebko's gone. Depending on what they do with Zeller, Sullinger, and those guys could both be gone this summer. They're only committed as of right now to $40 million in 2017-18. So they have a lot of room to go. There's a lot to build on. So I'm just thinking that if you build up your bench somehow, not just go back out there with and I don't know, maybe part of building the bench is letting Rozier develop and Hunter develop, and maybe those guys end up becoming your better bench players. But I still think you build things up and make the team better. That just makes you more attractive to whomever you go for next summer. There is a big uptick in the talent.
I love our beef here. We normally agree on just about everything, but not here. Not when it comes to Ryan Anderson and Mirza Teletovic, man. That is really a divisive topic for us.
We're one step closer to being Hot Take Central, man. I want to say, by the way, I want to say thanks. I didn't even see who the reviewer was. We got a review on iTunes, a 3-star review, okay? The 3-star review, what the review basically said, and I'm going to try to get close on the quote, but basically said, Jay is great, but John is a moron. And clearly holding Jay back, and all John does is spit out his hot takes. So we're this close, man. I'm almost Felger.
Yes. I wasn't initially on board with the 3-star rating. That is a really average rating for a terrific podcast. But once John told me that the guy thought he was a moron, I am now fully on board. Whoever said that, tweet at me. We can become really good friends. You know, you guys are right. John is holding me back. I would be making millions for podcasting. I would be the face of Boston sports on TV if it wasn't for John Corrales. Like, I would be a huge deal if it wasn't for John Corrales. So turn that 3-star rating into a 5-star rating, at least for me. But yeah, John is really letting us down on this podcast.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, really, I think the first thing I should do is watch the games. You know, I've been trying to be, you know, so Felger that I don't watch the games and I just give my uninformed hot takes.
That is too funny, man. You're okay in my book, John.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, look, I've got to have you carry me into some sort of stardom. I hitched my wagon to Chuck, and look how far it got me. So now I got to try somebody else.
We're going straight to the top. Three star. We're gonna ride our 3-star ratings all the way to the top.
That's it, man. That's it. Let's before we wrap this up, because we're trying to keep these to about half an hour now. Let's see if there are any more questions here. I can't get to all of the questions because some people just ask the same thing. So I'm just, if you ask a question, and hopefully I've called one out that's representative of the overall tone of some of these questions. So let's see. Polonius Monkey, can you break down the C's expected order of free agency moves? Is it first get Horford, then try for KD, and then the fallback options? We kind of talked about that, but I really do think that Horford might have to be the first domino to fall.
Yeah, and especially, you know, Durant, there was a report that he wants to have his decision by July 9th. You know, that's more than a week into free agency. By that time, a lot of guys will have already signed. I don't know if Horford's one of those guys, but if Horford wants to move quickly, you try to get him, and then you have him, and you're like, hey, Kevin, if you come here, we're going to be really, really good and still have a lot of assets to make further moves. So, yeah, if you need to go after Horford first, you do that, absolutely.
And then Irish Kelleher, if the Celtics pull off a miracle, actually sign KD and one or two other free agents, what does that do to the chances of the rookies? I would say that the rookies are mostly gone. And, you know, look, who knows? Maybe they'll want to keep some of these guys. I assume Jaylen Brown will have a role on the team no matter what. And, hey, he'd get mentored by Kevin Durant. So that's pretty good. I don't know how many of the other guys would stick around, because you would need to have some spots for guys to upgrade that bench. I mean, you'd have to do something. So maybe they work some kind of trades. You know, guys get moved for second-round picks or something like that. But I would imagine that any team with Kevin Durant and, let's say, Al Horford, I don't think that they're going to be playing many rookies.
Yeah, probably not. And, I mean, Jaylen Brown might be the exception because he is super athletic and probably deserving of some minutes regardless. But, yeah, I would be shocked if anybody else... If they got that good, I would be shocked if any other young guy really got a chance.
So it's not like Jaylen Brown's coming in with a lot of pressure, but I would think that at this stage of the Celtics' development, they are hoping for some sort of contribution from the third overall pick. But if Durant came in, they play the same position, then Brown can kind of ease his way in. And I don't think he would obviously play as many minutes. He'd play some, but he would at least get to learn from one of the best. He'd learn from guarding one of the best ever. And so I think getting a top flight guy like that would really help Jaylen Brown, because, you know, he can move along more slowly. He can go to the D League without any worries. And people can kind of be patient about him because they've got now a superstar roster and an instant contender. So maybe Brown becomes more of a contributor next year or the year down the line, and we can kind of focus on bringing him along the right way.
Yeah, I mean, if the number 3 pick goes to the D League, it's probably not the greatest sign. I think they do envision him playing minutes, especially right now. But yeah, if they add Durant, who knows what happens to the rotation? Who knows what happens with Brown? But yeah, there would be minimal opportunities for the young guys if the Celtics get as good as they want to. And who knows, maybe they trade Brown if they get that good and try to target some other, you know, really good player out there, whoever it may be.
Well, we'll see. We're gonna wrap up today's show, and kind of see how things progress, how the rumors shake out. Free agency, just a couple of days away. We're posting the show Wednesday. That means Thursday night at midnight, 12:01, actually, teams can start calling. So when we wake up on Friday morning, or if you even go to sleep Thursday night, we will start to hear who is in the lead, who's making these pitches, who might be signing where, if the Celtics are getting Horford or any sort of other upgraded talent, how that will play out. So until then, we're going to wrap it up. We'll see you next time. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.